For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. So it's okay to tear down their altar, because you're a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him. Amen. Unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Can you believe it? God help us. Take that in. This is very humbling, because I know this is a reality I've thought about a lot. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. That's not it. What Bob brought up last night was good. We may read something else later, but that's good right there. But listen to this. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Who are our fathers? We're reading about them.
That's right.
Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Amen. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, that we should behold both the goodness and the severity of the Lord. Toward thee, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. But toward them, severity. But God is able to have mercy on them again, he said, talking about the Jews, as opposed to us Gentiles. God is able to graft them in again, just as he grafted us in, contrary to our own nature. It's the work of God. We have to. If you don't see both the goodness and the severity of God, you're going to get confused by something along the way. In their hearts, men fear to face the truth about themselves, about God, about the devil, about life. There's a fear there of the truth. So they try to divide or cut the severity of God and put it over there in a corner and blame the devil for all that part, because they don't want to face the truth about God. But if you want to be saved, confess the goodness and the severity of God. If he's been good to you, confess it. If he's been severe to you, confess it. It's God. It's God. He said so later on. He said, I kill and I make alive. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee. You know what Jesus said kept him in God's love? He said, even as I have kept his commandments and abide in his love, you keep my commandments and abide in my love. If you keep his commandments, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind, that's the cows, cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Deuteronomy's been the haven for a lot of hurting people. It's a good place to go if you're going through some hard stuff.
Praise God.
Praise God. Part of the reason that Deuteronomy is so deep and so good is the depth of feeling Moses was feeling when he spoke these words. He knew he was about to die and he didn't want to. He wanted to live so that he could help these people get established in God's way of doing things in that precious land. But God said no. He didn't understand that God said no in large part so that he would be a figure of the law and its inability to bring God's people where God really wanted them. And he had to let Joshua take over, which was Jesus' name, Jehoshua in Hebrew. Sorry, what verse are we on?
15.
Thank you, Glenn. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. That's what you read, wasn't it, Bess? There shall not be one among you male or female barren. And Bess was praying, I don't want to be barren. Hallelujah. And she's not. Oh, glory to God. Gave her a double portion. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Tim, tell us about it. How it came about.
Well, Bess had been, she had been praying, she had been talking to different ones about it. And I knew she was heartbroken. Every time we talk about it, my heart would go out for Bess because I knew she really wanted children bad. Until one day she came in and she just lay down on the bed and she was crying. She said, I just don't know why this is happening to me. She said, I just know there's something more to it. And it got to me. I had to go outside the house. I couldn't stand it any longer. And I was sitting on the front porch of that little house that we had in Greensboro. And I said, God, what are we doing wrong? And he spoke to my heart. He said, ask me for a name.
He said what? Tell
us. Ask me for a name. And it stunned me. I said, ask me for a name. And so I said, okay, what name do you want us to call our firstborn? And he answered me back. And he said, Jeremiah. And I jumped up because I said, did I just hear what I thought I heard? And he said, Jeremiah, second time. Man, I got so excited, I ran back in the house to let Bess know there's more to the story. And I said, Bess, God showed me what we were doing wrong. We haven't done something. We haven't asked him for this child. I said, you go and you pray.
Glory to God.
You ask him for the name, because at that point, I wanted to make sure I was getting the right message. I said, if he gives you the same name he gave me, then I know that this is from God. And she did. She prayed, and she came back, and she says, well, I got a name, but I don't know if it's from God. And I said, well, what is it? Because I wouldn't tell her what name I got. And she said, well, I got Jeremiah. Man, we both started jumping up.
Hey, man.
And I guess it was about maybe 2 years later. We got Jeremiah. But that 2 years was a ground that we knew that what God had spoken was going to come to pass. And
Amen.
We had to learn that he meant what he said. And that we had to trust God that 2 years or that time frame. We had to know that God had put it in our hearts. And during that time, he would, that was like a month by month process, he would teach us a new lesson about him. Something
Praise.
We had never heard before, never felt before. We weren't being taught that in Christianity.
Amen. Jeremiah. They didn't hear you.
Yes.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that your mother and daddy wanted you?
Yes.
And prayed for you?
Sure is.
And that God chose your name? Isn't that great? Yeah, I wish you could see this face. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Amen. That's a good story. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah, Jeremiah?
Yeah.
Jeremiah, do you remember being in Christianity? You don't, huh? Well, since you're only 14 months old when you first came around, I guess we can understand that. praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Susie, can you stand it? Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You know why she feels like that? Because she loves Bess and she loves Tim. And loves Jesus and what he does for people. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
John, one other thing that happened during that same time period, that's when we started getting that information, we decided to leave the place that we were going at that time.
Getting what information?
From God about Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, one day I was standing there by the door, and Bess, after we had decided we were not going to go back to the place that we were going, and Bess asked me, she said, "Will we ever find anybody that's doing right?" And I told Bess, I said, "This came from the Lord. I knew it because when it hit my heart, when it came, it said, there's somebody out there doing the right thing. You just got to keep finding." And the word came to me, "You got to keep looking."
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we kept looking, and we were
Amen.
Not willing to be satisfied with any other thing than what God had for us.
Praise God.
I'm glad. And we talked about that this past week, just hearing all the things that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he spoke it and we listened.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
We would not quit until we found and get really got satisfied from God.
So many of God's people are discouraged and they've stopped looking.
Right. Yeah.
It just breaks your heart.
Yeah.
They've just assumed that you, in this life, you can't know the truth. You just can't have it in this life. It's just not there. You just have to settle for division and hope for the best in the next life.
I didn't get that message from someone else out there. I got it from the one who cared enough about it to say, "Ask me for a name."
Amen.
That's the God I knew, that there was something real out there. When he put it in my heart that there is someone out there living right, just keep looking until you find it.
Amen.
I knew to trust that. And that's why I was telling Bess, I'm so glad I let that stay in my heart and wouldn't let anything keep me from looking.
Amen. And when Tim went to tell Bess about another meeting, she said, "Oh, not another one." Yeah, everybody says they got the truth. You just didn't want to go through that again, get close to people and find out what was really going on. It is. And that's why a lot of people stop looking. Like Beth said, you put your whole heart into it and find out it's not the truth after a little while, and it just hurts. If you're not tired of getting hurt, you might find the truth. And don't stop putting your whole heart in whatever you're doing, because they're the only people that are going to find the truth. Just trust God to heal whatever hurt you run up against. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Dance break for Susie. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Bess, tell them about the first meeting you came to. What did you think it was? What did it look like?
Bother me, but the speaking in tongues out loud and that kind of thing, it just sort of frightened me some, and I thought, "Oh Lord, how do I know this is right?" And I think it was after the first meeting that Ellen and you and Barbara and Tim and I were sitting down in the basement talking, and I just started crying, and I said, "I just want to know what's right," and I broke down and began crying. And you came over and you put your arm around me, and you didn't pray anything for me except, "Lord, show her what's right." And you just held on to me, and I cried and cried. And that felt the love of God for the first time, I think, ever in my life, like that deep. And that touched me, and that from that point on, I wasn't afraid anymore to trust that this was the right way.
God did something for you.
Yes, He did.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise Amen. God. If you can't sit down, Susie, it's okay, honey. glory to God. Amen. If you can, it's okay, too. Amen. Amen. All right. Where are we? I don't know. Yeah, I see now. 14, 15. I mean, chapter 7, verse 15.
See, you remember.
It's all right. It's like that guy stopped and asked directions one time, and I imagine the Lord saying this right now. He said, "You're not." I asked him, I said, "How you get?" He said, this guy smiled at me and said, "You're not lost. I know exactly where you are." I told him, I said, "I'm glad somebody does." And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Amen. Lord. Amen. When you've been sick, that means something. Praise God. Praise God. Whoa, wow. Man, that feels good. For God's people. Amen. Amen. My. Who needs something from God? Why do we want it? From head to toe. God, we want it from head to toe. Head to toe, God. Amen. Amen. Yes, I believe God has it for you. Yes, it's for you. You're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be healed. It's the children's bread. Doesn't belong to the dogs, it belongs to the children. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Praise God. Amen. Give her her bread. Yes. Healing is the bread of God's children. Ha ha. Ha ha. Oh, yes. You had your manna today for the healing of the nations. Angels' food. Oh, glory. We got something better than that now. They had angels' food. We're eating and drinking Christ. Oh, glory. Glory to God. My, my, my. Bless her, God. Glory to God. Yes, God. Help us know how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Yes. He's the seed. He's the wheat. You had your Wheaties today? Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Preserve you body, soul, and spirit to the coming of the Lord, blameless.
Amen.
Able to keep that that you commit to Him unto that day. Amen. Able to keep you too. Glory to God. You and yours and your house.
Amen.
God bless this one.
On Monday night, I went to bed. Well, I came home and I listened. Rob had given me a copy of the CD, so I listened to it all the way home. And I got down by the bed and prayed, thanking for all He's done. And just out of my mouth just came little words to my heart and to my soul. Are sweeter than honey and finer than gold. Just fell out. And I thought, oh, Lord, You want me to write another song? And I already had three. And I said, You want me to write another song for You? I said, okay. So I went and I wrote those down. But nothing else came with it. So I said, well, I'll go to bed. So I went to bed. And I will tell you, He's a loving God. He's a loving God. I woke up yesterday morning with hundreds of voices in my head. Hundreds. And Sister Willie, it was the best black gospel spiritual band I've ever heard. And they were singing, Jesus, how good to me. Jesus, how good to me. Jesus, how rich. Jesus, how sweet. Jesus, how good to me. And I could never sing it the way they were singing because they were clapping and they were moving and they were praising God. But I said, now that is God's goodness to give me a word like sweeter than honey and finer than gold. And then say, Jesus is rich. And Jesus is sweet. And so I got a song. It's good. It's good. Everything God's given me is good. It's been the best 7 days of my life. I told Brother Jimmy, I saw him, Sister Debbie coming out. And I said, Brother Jimmy, I'm so happy for you. I am really happy for you and Debbie. I said, you know what? I would trade places for anybody in this room for what God's done for me.
Amen. Amen.
I would trade places with anybody. I would.
Praise God.
And I felt like God gave me back like something special. And that song, I feel like He put His heart right in my hand. I feel like God's heart, He let me know how He felt and how He feels. He still feels that way about His children. He still saying, don't go to other gods. I am your God. And I'm sure I left out something, but I just I'm going to tell you, he gave me little nuggets along the way. And, you know, I just love them. I love little nuggets like that. And I just, they're the things that I felt was, when I left here last week, I was really under the weight of the correction. That you can fall under the weight of the correction. Or you can fall under the hand of the one who's given the correction. And you can fall on your knees in all humbleness and ask forgiveness and know that he's a loving, kind God. I said, Lord, if you'll get me through these 7 days, I'll be like David. If you open my lips, my mouth will show forth your praise. It's been good. I needed it. I feel like God took something out and he put something in. And he can do it. He can do it.
Amen.
But I've learned, I don't know where anybody is. I don't know where anybody is. And I thank God for where I am tonight.
Praise God.
It's a good relationship. It's good, but he cares. He wants you to know what he's feeling. I thought about that song, John, you wrote, Though Your Sins Be As Scarlet. Do you really know this about me? Do you understand I'll hold your hand? Do you understand that? Do you know that I'm more merciful and kind?
God.
Do you know that there's a bigger me than what you even know about?
Amen.
A bigger me.
Amen.
Don't limit him. Don't limit him. Just go to him. That's all I need. Go to him.
Praise God.
You tell you 7 days of cleansing. Do 7 days of cleansing.
Amen.
Whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's just how bad you want him. It's how bad you want that relationship with him. It's how much you want life. It's how much you want life.
Amen.
He's not a sum of the time God. That's one of the things that I got was when Moses said, set your heart to do all the law, all of it, because that is your life. It is your life. And I just thank him. I'm telling you, I'm blessed. I had 7 days, big bowls of blessings, and I got the God out of every one of them. I licked until I couldn't lick anymore.
Amen.
I love it. He's a good God. He's a good God. And he's this God right here. He's that one that he is in control. You want out of something, there's a way out.
Amen.
There's a way out.
Amen.
There's a way out. And you don't talk about what... I said, Lord, okay, I had correction. But look at what I got. Look at what I got. 7 days of Jesus.
That's what it's for.
Look at what I got.
Amen.
You know, I hate what I did, but look at what I got.
Praise God.
I hate it.
Amen.
We can grow. And there's one other thing I know. I was corrected this time. It might be you next time. But Every time he strengthens one of us, he strengthens the whole body.
Everybody.
Amen. The whole body.
Amen.
It's for the good of all.
Amen.
Amen.
Last Tuesday, I thought I really had a pretty testimony, but it was nothing compared to this. But the Lord was preparing me the whole way, because I know when Brother Jimmy gave his beautiful testimony that night, then I went home and I was just struggling. I said, Lord, I know I'm not jealous over that. I know I'm not. And I was talking to him that morning and said, I know I'm not. He spoke back to me and said, yes, you are. Jealous over me. And so he wants to see how jealous I was.
Amen. Amen.
How hungry are you for me?
Amen.
Let's see how much you can crawl and dig. Let's see how much you want me.
Amen.
And I did. I crawled and I dug and I asked him I could get.
When you feel like your heart's being torn out, like when you just cannot take it, you're getting close to the heart of God when He looks at His people. That's why nobody can write a song like this without feeling those things. And whatever God puts you through to feel those things just makes you more like Him. If you go to God with it.
O Israel, O Israel, my people I love, sent manna from heaven, rain down from above. O Israel, O Israel, how sad to my heart. sought gods of another. This vow ye did break. O Israel, O Israel, thy counsel is void. There is none beside me, for I am thy God. Thy fathers I promised to bless with this land. Why hast thou provoked me by following sin? O Israel, O Israel, where are thy gods now?
Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant.
O Israel, O Israel, my people I love, sent manna from heaven, rain down from above. O Israel, O Israel, how sad to my heart that thou wouldst not hearken and thou didst depart. Thy fathers I promised to bless with this land. Why hast thou provoked me by following sin? O Israel, O Israel, my vow ye did take, sought gods of another, this vow ye did break. O Israel, O Israel, thy counsel is void. There is none beside me, for I am thy God. Thy fathers I promised to bless with this land. Why hast thou provoked me by following sin? O Israel, O Israel, where are thy gods now? My wrath is upon you for breaking our vow. O Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were true. If only thine heart had heard this way too. Thank you.
Lord gave me a picture of a little child, maybe Jonathan or little Joseph's age over there, smaller, and knocking down a little pile of blocks that maybe Jeremiah would have put up and real proud of, and how that can upset a little child to have something that he worked on so hard just be knocked over just for somebody's fun, and how that's the nature of man that God hates, born in people, to tear down instead of build up. And it gets progressively more important as they get older, to where you have, as we have in this community, some young, probably a young guy who rides around at night and smashes mailboxes just for fun that somebody else has worked hard to put up. But it doesn't just stop with things. Because that lust for pleasure from destruction drifts over into tearing people down. Sarcastic talk, cruel comments, nitpicky, unmerciful words toward each other, and kids are full of it. Foolishness is in the heart of all kids. And some people never grow up to learn the value of kindness and patience and gentleness and goodness. Never learn it. In the law that God gave to Moses, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, God's building up something beautiful. And he was very upset when Satan just came and messed it up. Moses worked hard to build God's children up. Satan was working hard. And what his work resulted in was destruction of the beautiful thing. That's why God killed Nadab and Abihu. Because they were messing up the beautiful thing he was building, one block at a time. And if it broke God's heart for Satan and those who were deceived by him to tear up that beautiful thing that he was building up with animal blood, what is his heart feeling now when the blood of his son was shed to build up what is really beautiful and what is really good? When the blood of his son was shed so that we could have a real baptism. That's what makes God happy, for people to have the real thing, the real baptism. And it breaks his heart for people to trust in other baptisms that men and Satan together have worked to institute. It tears down the good thing that the blood of Jesus built up. Every time somebody teaches a doctrine that's not revealed from God, it breaks God's heart for people who believe it. That's why he hates it, because of what it does to people. It tears them down. It doesn't build them up. It warps their lives. It doesn't get them established and stable and happy. He's not fooled. That's why he's sad. And the closer we get to God, the more feelings like God we're going to have. One of the pearls that Uncle Joe said in an old tape that I was listening to the other day is this. He said, if people will stop doing what God's not doing, they'll be more like him. You think about that. If God's not doing it, don't you do it.
Just be who God made you.
That's right.
Just be who God made you.
Don't do something God's not doing. Jesus leads by example. And everything he does builds people up. It adds to, it builds on, it goes up. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. I love that verse because it doesn't say just of his government there'll be no end. It says of the increase of his government there'll be no end. If he runs out of things to govern, his Father will create something else. Of the increase of his government there will never be an end. Because God builds people up. He adds to. He increases. He blesses. Amen.
One thing I've seen lately, and God's true to me in my heart, he is of no respect to person. And when God does something for you, it's like it's so complete and so much that there is no room for any envy for anything anybody does.
Right.
Whatever God does for you, for Sister Sandy, or for me, or for Kathy, or I look at Taylor sometimes with her baby, and him, Carrie, and his mother-in-law, and father-in-law, and see how happy they are, and everything. I've watched him for a long time. I've watched him and see her just laughing and everything. But the good thing is he knows in everybody's heart exactly what it's going to take for them.
Right.
And if we'll let him, he'll fulfill every bit of that in our hearts. And it might not even be exactly what we think, but it's going to be the best.
Amen.
It's going to be the best. And when he does that, it is absolutely no room for you to want somebody else's wife or to want something else in my house. I mean, it's
somebody else's position.
It's completely absent.
Amen.
Every bit of that. I mean, you don't even have time. Not that you only enjoy what he's doing for somebody else, but you're so full of what he's doing for you and has done for you that you really don't have a lot of time to think about how much he's doing for somebody else. Do you, Sam?
Amen.
You really haven't had much time to think about me and Debbie or anything else. I haven't had much time to think about you other than just think about, you know, she's going to be all right. And it's not in any kind of bad way. It's just like it makes you feel so complete in your heart, your soul, and you're so satisfied. There's just not any... There's no covet.
Glory to God.
There's no jealousy. There's no nothing. Because like you said, it's like for you, he has done the best in the world.
Right.
And that's what makes it so delicious and so good, because nobody can satisfy you or know how to satisfy you like God does.
Amen.
And no matter what it might be, it's not a person, but it's what he does between two people. Because it puts too much pressure on any person to try to do that or try to be that for you. They
right.
can't do it.
Can't do it.
It's impossible without God, but it's just what God does. But he can do that for every individual in here.
God.
And it lets no room for anything but just the joy that he put in
Amen.
Our heart, and Sammy's heart, and your heart, and everybody else, just because you're doing what God has made you to do.
Amen.
That's something that's really complete there. Man.
John, what I found out was that what you had said about to whom much is given, much is required.
To whom much is given, much is required, yeah.
I found out through this and through other touches from the Lord, but this completed what I was feeling. Every time you get touched by the Lord, you're getting more of him, and you're being your requirements go up.
That's right.
From him. I mean, he might just touch you this time, next time, but whatever he does for you, your standards are raised.
Yes.
Your standards are raised by him.
Amen.
And I found out one thing, what you were saying, I mean, since February of last year, I just really, the Lord's taken me some really special places. And I've loved him. And you miss God. You miss him in your heart and in your soul. And then when you hear something like what Jimmy said, I was kind of confused. But I mean, I knew I was jealous, but I was jealous for that testimony.
Yes.
I was jealous for God to give me something like that in my heart again. That's what I wanted. His testimony was so beautiful.
You could feel, if you've been touched, you can feel it in somebody else.
Yes, you can.
You feel it, and you want it again and again. But what I found out, too, is he's not that hard to find. He is not that, he doesn't hide himself.
Praise God.
You go down and you dig for God, and you're going to find him.
Yes, you are.
And all you got to do is lay your heart out there. He's not that hard to find. I love him, and I know he loves me. I never knew, I never thought about it this way, that God would walk me through correction, that he would take my hand. Do you understand that I'll take your hand and walk you through this?
Amen.
I'll be there. You just be willing to learn what I want you to learn, and I'll be there.
Praise
for you.
God.
That's all I ask, is a willing heart. I just didn't know it.
Praise.
I didn't know he would be there for me every single step of the way. And when the Lord gave me that song about Moses, I mean, it was like the Lord picked me up and set me down beside Moses. That's what it felt like. It was just engulfing. It was just like I had been set right down in the middle there between Moses and the congregation of Israel. Just feeling that. But God, he's just not that hard to find.
Praise God.
I know he was with me every day. Every day.
Feel like you've got something lacking to have that joy? Feel like you're not quite there yet? That's why you're hearing these testimonies, because God's saying, here I am. You want it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Oh, God. He is a good God. These testimonies belong to all of us. They're for us all. He can do it. He can do it. He is here to do it. He can make you so happy you forget about whatever you're thinking about right now. Praise God. Amen.